going old school on y'all. I write all my sermons out, and then I type them out on the iPad so that it makes it easier for me. And this one never got typed out on the iPad. It just got wrote out. And so anyhow, it got so good that I had to call somebody and tell them all about it, so I didn't get it typed out. Is everybody all right? And so we're going to take a look at Genesis. Where are you going? We're still singing. You've got children's church. You've got choir. Where are you going? Everybody watch her as she walks out and leaves her ministry. Genesis chapter number 22. We'll start off in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter number 22. All right? And how many of you know where this chapter is and what this chapter is about? All right, that's 4 of y'all. Good, we're working. All right. All right, let's take a look at it. We'll read down through verse number 14, and we'll stop our reading right there. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Now, let me stop right here, because if I go any farther and that's on your mind, it's going to mess up the whole sermon. But God didn't tempt Abraham in the manner of evil. The Bible here, that word tempt means a testing or a proving. So God tested Abraham. Now that'll be important as we get into the sermon. But for now, I don't want you thinking and going through the whole sermon thinking that God is tempting people. God is testing us, all right? Verse number 2, "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." So here we're in the very first stages of the book of Genesis. Abraham has been called out. We'll get into that a little bit more in detail. But the burnt offering is in place. The other sin offerings, the trespass offering, that comes with the Mosaic law. But the burnt offering was in existence before the Mosaic law. It was an offering to God. It was a sacrifice to God. It required the death of an animal and the blood of an animal, and then the body of that animal would be burnt up unto the Lord. And so this offering that God asked Abraham to partake in was to bring Isaac to a specific place and kill him. All right. I heard somebody tell me one time, God never instructed Abraham to kill Isaac. I disagree. All right. The mere fact that he asked him to offer him as a burnt offering shows that God's intentions for Abraham, at least in his instructions, was that Abraham would kill Isaac. All right. Now, as we move along, verse number 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning." I couldn't imagine being a father and having to wake up with the task of taking the son that thou lovest and taking him to a place and offering him as a burnt offering. I don't know if Abraham got up early because he was anticipating obeying God, or if he got up early because he couldn't sleep at all that night. All right. And I'll go ahead and say this, because I like to point this out too. Abraham had to sleep next to the woman that gave birth to that child when she was 90 years old. I imagine if he fell asleep and even whispered in a dream what he was going to do, she would have killed him right there in the bed. All right. Now, the Bible says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took 2 of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." So God sent Abraham to a specific place. All right. It wasn't just go out into the woods and offering a burnt offering. It wasn't going out to his normal altar, which I guarantee you Abraham had. If you read Abraham's life, he constantly built altars. As a matter of fact, that was one distinguishing thing between him and Lot. Lot never built an altar on his own, but everywhere Abraham went, Abraham built an altar. And when Abraham got in trouble, I need somebody to hear me right now. When Abraham got in trouble in his life, it was because he didn't have an altar. When he went into Egypt, he got in trouble because he didn't have an altar. You better learn, somebody better hear me this morning. You better learn to stay close to the altar. Wherever that is, if it's in your closet, if it's by your bed, if it's down here in the church, wherever it is, you better learn to stay close to the altar because there's trouble away from the altar. The Bible goes on, it tells us that it was on the third day. We'll bring that up in a little bit. But the Bible says in verse number 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Abraham said, "We going to worship and we'll be back." All right, I need y'all to hear that. He said, "We going to worship." He didn't say, "We going to worship and I'll be back." He said, "We're going to worship and we will be back." Abraham was going to offer Isaac as a burnt offering, but Abraham reckoned within himself, according to Hebrews chapter number 11, that God was big enough that if God asked for Isaac and he killed Isaac, that God was big enough to raise him from the dead. And so when he talked to his young men, he said, "Y'all stay right here. Me and the boys going to worship God and we will return, the two of us." Is everybody with me? Oh my goodness, what faith. Oh my goodness, what faith. I need somebody to help me. I need somebody that would have took off running to help me shout a minute right here. Whether you disagree with what the Bible says or anything else, what you have to agree with right here is that is a great display of faith. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon his son, Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Man, I love this verse. He says, Abraham, in once again, this is a prophetic verse. Because by the way, we will look at this in just a few moments, but what was offered in the stead of Isaac was a ram. But prophetically, Abraham said, God will provide himself. John chapter number 1, verse number 29, John the Baptist seen Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world." Abraham seen way out there. Abraham seen what God was doing. The Bible says, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to do what? To slay his son." This for everybody thinking that Abraham wasn't going up there to kill Isaac, all right? The Bible says that he stretched forth his hand, he took the knife with the intent of slaying his son. The Bible goes on to tell us in verse number 11, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven." Can I just stop for just a few moments and say this? This angel was the Lamb. I'm going to go ahead and say it to this part. The angel that spoke to Abraham was the Lamb. Is everybody all right? You'll get that here in a little bit. But the angel that called out of heaven and stopped Abraham from killing his son, who spared the life of Isaac, this same one did not spare his own son. He offered his own son a lamb for you and I. The Bible goes on and tells us, and the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Can you hear the relief in his voice? I need somebody to help me. Abraham's fixing to drop the knife on Isaac, and a voice out of heaven says, hold up! Abraham's wife says, woo! I have a hard time explaining this one to mama. Verse number 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. This is the angel of the Lord. This is Jesus speaking with Abraham. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. As we look at this morning, Abraham here in Genesis chapter number 22, which, by the way, is one of the greatest chapters in the entire Bible. If you go and you read Genesis chapter number 22, you'll find individuals named Abraham and Isaac, but the story is not about Abraham and Isaac. The story is about God the Father and God the Son. It is a beautiful picture of what Christ went through for you and I, what the Father went through for you and I. If you see anything other than Christ and the Father in this story, then you are missing the picture that is being played out in front of us. But Abraham had some lessons that he learned here in Genesis chapter number 22. There's three words that I'm interested in throughout the whole scripture that I have read to you this morning. There's three words that I'm interested in. If you've been in the Bible college, you know of the law of first mention. There's three words in here that are first mentioned in the book of Genesis here in Genesis chapter number 22. Believe it or not, I've looked, and the best that I could find, the very first time that the word tempt is used is in Genesis chapter number 22 and in verse number 1. I look back, and it is translated in many different ways. It is translated tempted. It is translated tested. It is translated proved. It is translated in other ways. But the very first time that this word is used in Scripture is right here in Genesis chapter number 22 and in verse number 21. See, Abraham's life was full of testings, but this was the first time that we have recorded it in the Bible. But I want to, just for a moment, look at the lessons he learned about faith just from verse number 1. If we look, we'll see that the lesson of faith, God tested Abraham in many different areas of his life. In Genesis chapter number 11, God tested Abraham by calling him out of the land of Ur, of the Chaldees, and called him to the land of Canaan. It was a testing of Abraham. I need somebody to help me right here. God tests you and I with his provisions. You're going to have to help me now. God tests us with his provision. God wants to know that you trust him with what you need. See, it's real comfortable staying right where you're at, where you're familiar, where everything around you is established and taken care of, where everything around you is handled and you're completely dependent upon yourself. It's an easy place to live. It's an easy place for you to go through life. But God tests us, and he moves us out of our comfort zone. He moves us out of the normal and moves us into a place where where our dependence is completely upon Him. He did that with Abraham. He told him in Genesis chapter number 11 to leave Ur and to leave his kindred and to go to the land of Canaan. Now we know by the end of chapter number 11 that while Abraham did leave the land of Ur, he did not leave old dad. Old dad liked to stick around. Old dad said, hey, I'll go with you. And the Bible says that Terah, which was Abraham's father, took Abraham and went to Canaan. But see, God had given a message to Abraham to go into Canaan alone, Brother Trent. He'd given him a message to get out of the land that he was accustomed to move into a land he'd never been to, and to do it alone. And the Bible tells us in chapter number 11 that Abraham's father died, and in chapter number 12, in the very first verse, we see the Bible says, and God had said to Abraham, to get thee out of your country and away from your kindred. And it was at that point that Abraham moved into trusting God with his provisions. Is everybody with me? Y'all stay with me now. Abraham gives us a lesson in faith. This is a lesson for every Christian. Don't look around. I know everybody thinks Genesis 22, we're going to teach a salvation message and we'll get to that, but we're not there yet. See, we're talking about faith right now, and it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. And so how do we prove our faith? I need somebody to help me. With works. Oh my goodness. The Bible, do I need to go and preach about James again? Do I need to go and preach the book of James? James says, hey, we're declared righteous by our belief in God. But we prove that we have faith by our works. And so when God asks us to do something, we show we have faith when we do it. So Abraham, God is testing his faith. And God said, move out of your land. I'll provide for you. And, oh, come on, y'all. Y'all got to stay with me now. Am I losing you? God provided for Abraham. Abraham learned a lesson that God will provide. But he learned a lesson at the beginning of his ministry. He messed up along the way. He went back into Egypt when there was a famine. He shouldn't have gone back into Egypt. But nonetheless, he learned a lesson that God could be trusted with provisions. And so God tested him through his land. He tested him through his family. He tested him through his wife. How many husbands can say amen? I'm going to need more than three of y'all to say amen. How many of you know that God tests you through your wife? What was the lesson that was taught through the wife? It was a lesson of protection. If you'll remember, Abraham went into Egypt and he was scared to death that Pharaoh was going to kill him because of her beauty. And so he said, hey, this is my sister. Pharaoh took her. Then God come to Pharaoh in a dream and said, boy, don't you lay your hands on her. That's a married woman. She married to Abraham. He goes back to Abraham and said, well, man, what are you doing? You're going to get me killed. Get out of here. And gave him this little old girl named Hagar. Everybody all right? This little old handmaid named Hagar was Sarah's handmaid. She picked her up in Egypt. Next thing we know, Sarah said, I can't give you a son, but Hagar can give you a son for me. Another testing. He tests. Is everybody all right? This testing that Abraham learned, it was a lesson in faith. This lesson in faith was that God will provide. God will protect. And then listen, the last one is God will follow through with his promises. How about this one? This is good. This was so good. Is everybody with me? So Abraham took Lot. If you go back in Genesis chapter number 11, you'll read that Haran was Lot's father. And Haran died before Terah did, Abraham's father. And so, listen to me. Abraham was tasked with raising a son. But the son wasn't his. It was an adopted son. Is everybody all right? See, he's called a nephew in the Bible, but you have to look at the relationship. And the relationship was his father had passed away, and Abraham took on the responsibility of raising this young man. That's why Abraham had such a hard time leaving Lot. And that's why Lot went with him. But there come a time that God said, you got to separate from Lot. Man, is it all right if I preach till 3? Y'all good with this? I got plenty, all right? So Abraham, he came to a place where God said, you're going to have to give me your son. At that time, it was Lot, an adopted son. Not, y'all help me. Not so hard, but still a difficult task. This was a nephew, a grown man at this time, who was providing for himself. So Abraham's separation from Lot was not as big a deal as an Isaac. But it was still a big deal. So Abraham, by faith, moved away from Lot, an adopted son. Then God told Abraham to give up Ishmael, an illegitimate son. Now, Abraham loved that boy. Abraham, is everybody all right? If you'll go, Abraham had a very hard time turning loose of Ishmael. He begged God to take care and watch over Ishmael. Why? Because he loved him. But we're progressing in our testing. And here Abraham had to give up something that he loved, something that came from him, but yet it wasn't the promised seed. I'm gonna tell y'all just ain't seeing this. Abraham is moving and progressing in his walk, and God is testing him in every aspect of his life. Let me ask you a question. Are you going through any testing? Because if you're not, You might want to get with God back in here and get this thing started. Because see, the Christian walk is full of tests after tests. And God ain't going to ask you to give up your son. Somebody scream amen right there. But there are testings. God was progressing Abraham to the final and ultimate test. And that was Isaac. And when Abraham was willing to give up Isaac, I want you to listen to what the angel of the Lord said unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Back in verse number 2, he said, the son whom thou lovest. Is everybody with me? We're going to talk about that word, because you know what? Not only is this tested the first time it's mentioned in Genesis 22, but love the first time it's mentioned is in Genesis chapter number 22 in verse number 2. All right? They're going to sing. I want you to sing when I lay my Isaac down. Can you do that? Let's roll with that. Y'all okay? All right.
would freely give. I will ever,
yes.
I love, I trust Him in His sweet presence.
Tested Abraham. It was a lesson of faith. But then we see a lesson of love. Y'all, I'll tell you what. You ain't got to like this sermon. I like this sermon so much. I'd preach it to myself for the rest of this month. And next month. Just next from here on out. It was a lesson of faith that he learned. That he could trust God.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. One of the hardest lessons in life is learning how to turn it all loose. How to release it all and say, God, here it is. God, you do with me, you do with my family as you please. I'll follow you, even if it's up to a mountain. But God was teaching him another lesson. God's teaching you and I another lesson in Genesis chapter number 22. Because not only is the first time tempt is recorded in our Bible, but it's the first time love is recorded in our Bible. Verse number 2, he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. A lesson of love that involved a son. A lesson in love that involved an only son. A lesson in love. A lesson in love that required a sacrifice. A lesson in love that shows submission. Yeah, this is good. Don't miss this. So soon after this, Sarah dies. Sarah died. She was 127 years old. She had Isaac when she was 90 years old. 37 years had passed from the time that she gave birth to Isaac till she died. But somewhere towards the end, Isaac was offered on a mountain. Y'all got to hear this. Best I can tell, Isaac was around the age of 33. Best I can tell, Isaac was around the age of 33 when he willingly went to the mount. When he willingly laid the wood upon his back and obeyed the Father's command to climb the mountain. The best I can tell, he was about 33 years of age. This was a man that came from a supernatural birth. I need some ladies to say amen. Giving birth at 90 ain't an option. I need some men to say amen. Giving birth when you 100, hey, siring something at 100 is not an option. What I'm trying to say was his birth was supernatural. His life was supernatural. God used Isaac in Abraham's life to teach him a lesson in love. It wasn't about Isaac. It was about the only begotten of the Father who would come willingly, die at the age of about 33 years of age, lay his life down on the same wood that he carried up the mountain. It was a story of love, a lesson of love, and you can't have love without the cross. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life. See, that story of love and that lesson of love also included a substitute. Isaac didn't have to die. Isaac was, it was a substitute provided by God for Isaac. A lesson, not only in faith, but a lesson in love. A lesson of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isaac. God used Isaac in Abraham's life as a lesson of love. God showed Abraham that there would be no greater love than the offering of a son. This morning, you sit in this building, you're not saved. I want you to know this. There's been a great love displayed for your life. But God, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love towards us. That word commendeth means that he proved his love. That word commendeth means that he demonstrated his love. That word commendeth means that God showed you and I how much he loved us. God commendeth his love towards us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ, his son, died for us. He gave his life. I got a note I wrote in my Bible. I love studying and I write notes in my Bible. And though Isaac, the son, carried the wood, the cross, it was Abraham, the father, that carried out the execution, the knife, and the judgment, the fire. It may not mean anything to you, but what took place on the cross and those 3 hours of darkness was when the Father executed judgment on the Son. Woo! So that I did not have to die on that cross. So for that reason, this morning, KK is going to come and sing, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. I'm thankful. As wicked as I am, God loved me enough that he sent his only Son. He poured out his wrath. He poured out his judgment. He executed his judgment on his only begotten son so that I could go free. You listen.
I was running out.
Amen. Abraham learned a lesson. He learned a lesson of faith. He learned a lesson of love. There's a third word. It's worship. The Bible tells us, and I can't see my Bible right now. He told them boys, he said, y'all stay here with this donkey. Me and the boys going yonder to worship. It's first time mentioned worship in your Bible. It's implied throughout Genesis, but it's the first time mentioned. See, a testing, first time mentioning this lesson of faith. A lovest, first time mentioned a lesson of love, but we see a lesson of worship. A lesson of worship says this, you gotta go where God tells you to go. There's a place. We don't like to hear that because we've been taught we can just do whatever we want to, whenever we want to, and then, is everybody alright? I hate to break it to you, but in 1 Samuel chapter number 15 and verse number 22, old Saul had done some things. God had instructed him to kill all the Amalekites and he didn't do it. Samuel sent to him and Saul said, but we did all this and we did all that. And Samuel said to Saul, he said that obedience is better than sacrifice. See, a lesson in worship is we have to obey God. God said, go to the place that I will show you there. I need somebody to help me right here. The Mount Moriah, that range of mountains, it just so happens that Jerusalem is in that same range of mountains. And I believe that if God's big enough to do a supernatural birth in Isaac, God's big enough to do a work in Abraham to take his son to a specific place to offer him there. If I believe, and I do, that Abraham or that God used Isaac to show us a 33-year-old man that submitted himself to his father, that carried the wood and willingly laid down his life so that Abraham could take it, then I have to believe that the exact place that God sent Abraham was the exact place where his son would hang on a cross for all the world. It was obedience. The lesson of worship is you got to go to the place. Too many of us miss out on the blessings of God because we ain't in the right. Ooh, it'd have been bad if Abraham was on the other side of the mountain. And God said, Abraham, Abraham. And he wasn't there. Y'all ain't hearing me. See, it's important. I know you don't like it. Nobody likes to hear that we're supposed to obey anybody. We want our independence. But when it comes to worship, we have to do what God says do. Somebody help me. Can I say this? You and I, we're to obey God. We're to worship God. All through, I don't care what belief you have, all through scripture, all through a man's existence, there's been worship of God. Might not be the same God you and I worship, but in anywhere you go, they worship something. Why? Because you and I know that we are to worship. But you and I know who we're to worship. God told that woman on the well in John chapter number 4, you don't even know who you worship. Hey, he said, at least we know who we worship. You don't even know who you worship. I need somebody to help me right here. There's a lesson of worship. There's a place. Wherever that place is, we got to go and got to be obedient to God. There's a place. How about this? There's a price. We like to worship, but we like to worship on our terms. I need somebody to help me. We like to get in there with God. No, we want the big blessings from God. I'm going to walk over here and say that. We want the big blessings from God, but we don't want to pay but a little price for it. God, I sure am thankful for this wonderful family you gave me. 10%. Don't get quiet. Hey, don't get quiet. God, I sure am grateful for all these wonderful, my children. God, not my priceless children. The tithe is what all that church wants is money. I'm going to go over here. I've got some of y'all so mad. Hey, listen here. If you're mad right now, you need to get saved. I'm being prophetic. Is everybody all right? Because I don't know anybody in the building that have a problem giving back to God as much as He's given to you. If you're going to sit there and call yourself a Christian and claim that cross, then don't you get mad when somebody starts talking about money. Now, let me move on. Let me just say this before I move on. I'm glad God didn't say, well, I got the Son that could satisfy all the sins of the world.
That's right.
But I'll just give a lamb so that y'all keep having to do sacrifices. I need some help, brother. I mean, God didn't say, I'm just going to give up. Do you notice how He talked to Abraham? Thine only son, whom thou lovest. Hey, you know what Jesus said about the Father? That the Father loved Him.
That's right.
Oh, I need somebody to help me. Don't think for one minute that Jesus coming to the cross was a small price.
That's right.
We get mad at God and say, why in the world would He ask for Isaac? But, I mean, really, did God ask anything more of Abraham than what He was willing to give for us?
That's right.
Woo, woo, woo. I wish somebody write that down. A place of worship, the price of worship, the purpose of worship. The purpose of worship is for us to show Him how much we appreciate Him. Don't get on that pen. Hurry up, son. And then the praise of worship. The Bible says this about Abraham in chapter, in verse number 14, it said this, Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. I think Abraham learned a lesson of faith. I think Abraham, let me say this about the lesson of faith to all the Christians in here. It comes after test, after test, after test. Don't think for one minute that life is just going to be real. I need somebody to help me. One of the greatest men that you and I read about in the Old Testament is Abraham. And over and over again, God made Abraham who he was through testing. And if you think that God's got a different way of maturing you in your faith, you're wrong. I need somebody to just thank God He ain't asked for one of your children.
Amen.
Of course, some of you may be willing to give up one of your children. But God tested him and he learned a lesson in faith.
Amen.
He learned a lesson in love through the love of a son. But he learned a lesson in worship. And no matter how difficult, no matter how ugly the task, no matter what God asks of me, He's worthy. Oh, I need somebody to hear me. He's worthy of my obedience. No matter how difficult it may be, no matter how hard it may be for me to turn loose of it, He's worthy. He's great. Oh, I need somebody to hear me. He's greater than what He's asking you for.
That's right.
Difficult lessons, but lessons we all face in life. A lesson of faith, a lesson of love, and a lesson of worship. Is God worth your praise? It's easy to say it. But James said we prove it. By our actions.
Right.
Oh, we going back to that. Yeah. Yeah. See, Paul said in Romans chapter number 4 that we're justified by faith, and Abraham was justified. He believed God and it was accounted unto him righteousness. James said that Abraham was justified by works. It's not contradicting. James was just saying that Abraham proved his faith by his actions. So is it so far-fetched to ask us to prove our faith by our actions? Heads are bowed. People are coming to the altar. You've been going through a lesson of faith. Man, it is, I'm telling you, maybe it's beating you down. Why don't you come down here and get a hold of God? Testings are coming. Why don't you come get a hold of it? Maybe there's a lesson in love for you this morning. I pray there was. Maybe there's a lesson in worship. Maybe this morning you see God's worth it. Place a value on God above anything that God may ask you for. He's greater than anything He would ask of you. But I want to get back to that lesson in love. I want to ask a very serious question. I beg God for visitors this morning, because the gospel was preached, the good news, that there was a Son came to die on a cross for us, a substitute so that I could go free. This morning, God showed us His Son through Abraham's son Isaac. This morning, I wonder if there's one person in this building. Maybe you ain't a visitor. Maybe you're a member. But I wonder if there's one person in this building been struggling with their salvation. Been struggling with whether or not you go to heaven if you die. But nobody looking around. Please, nobody look around. Everybody's eyes closed. From the choir to the back of the building up in the balcony, nobody's looking around. Let's not be a distraction to anybody else. If you say, preacher, I'm struggling, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. I've been struggling. Not sure, preacher. If that's you this morning, I want you to do me a favor and look right up at me. Nobody else is looking around. I just want you to be honest. Is there anybody in the building like that this morning? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I don't know who the message was for, but I know it got preached. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would take, Lord, what's been preached this morning, what's been sang about this morning. I pray, God, that you'd use it for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray you'd change a life like mine was changed. God, this morning I want to thank you. I want to thank you for some tough lessons of faith. God, I've not arrived, so I know there's more coming, but I thank you for the lessons of faith I've already had on my journey. Lord, I'm thankful for the lessons of love over and over again when I read my Bible. Over and over again, God, I see your love for me. I'm thankful for the lessons of love. Lord, I pray that the lessons I've been taught in worship will come out more than these lessons I've learned in the flesh. God, you are worthy. No matter what is asked of me, no matter how high the price, no matter what the value, God, you're more valuable. You're worthy. God, I pray I've learned the lesson of worship. I pray you use my worship to lead others. But God, I pray that my worship will continue to grow as lessons of faith are learned and lessons of love are revealed.